One of the most dreaded diseases of the ancient world was leprosy. There was no cure, and the person who contracted leprosy slowly rotted to death. It was painful, hideous, and people avoided touching lepers at all times. In ancient Israel, lepers were to announce their arrival in public by shouting, "Unclean! Unclean!" A leprous man came to Jesus and begged him for healing. Jesus granted the leper his wish, but the remarkable thing is that Jesus reached out and touched him to perform the healing. Jesus didn't have to touch this untouchable man in order to heal him, but he did so as an act of comfort. Are the difficulties in your life so great, the pain so deep, the loss so unbearable, that you believe that you are untouchable to God? On Beyond Today, we're going to talk about what you can do when life is so bad that you even feel untouchable to God.
Join our host, Gary Petty, and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
Are the difficulties in your life, the pain so deep, the loss so unbearable, that you believe that you are untouchable to God? As a Christian, you believe that God is loving and all-powerful, but when facing the overwhelming loss of a loved one, the termination of a lifelong career, or a personal health crisis, have you found yourself asking, how can I trust God when many times I just don't understand what He's doing? Let's be honest. Many times in life, those of us who believe in God find ourselves in situations that don't seem to make much sense. We've all experienced that. Why doesn't God intervene in a personal crisis? Why doesn't God lift my severe depression? Why is a young person allowed to suffer a premature death? Has God left you in the dark to work these answers out for yourself? How can we have faith in God when sometimes He just doesn't seem to make sense? When we feel untouchable. Well, let's begin to answer that question by going to Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount, where He teaches approaches to life called the Beatitudes. These are attitudes that lead to genuine happiness. Now, one of these Beatitudes or attitudes that Jesus taught is, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Now, notice what Jesus says. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. God's blessing isn't a life without loss and mourning, but the promise of comfort for those who do suffer. Now, at this point, you may be asking, why do I have to suffer loss at all? I mean, why doesn't God, who says He loves me, save me from all the bad things that happened in life? Have you ever thought that? How can I trust God when my life seems so difficult? Now, I want you to go back and remember Christ's promise in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those who mourn, who do suffer, for they shall be comforted. To receive that comfort, you have to believe that God can help you experience comfort and peace in spite of your difficulties. You have to believe that He is willing to reach out and touch you with His healing hands. You have to believe that if you really have turned your life over to your Creator and you wish to live by His way, then God has a greater plan for your life, even though there are times when you don't understand that plan. But you ask, how can I have faith in God when I don't understand His plan? The Gospel of John records a story from the life of Jesus that illustrates what we're talking about. Jesus had a special relationship with a man from Bethany named Lazarus. Jesus was teaching in another town when messengers arrived to inform him that Lazarus was very ill. Now, Jesus then does something that seems to make no sense to everybody who was around him. Instead of rushing off to the side of his sick friend, he stays away for 2 days. In fact, he deliberately waits until Lazarus dies before going to Bethany. Imagine the thoughts that went through the minds of Christ's disciples. He performed miracles wherever he went, but now he deliberately delays going to his seriously ill friend. Now, Jesus arrives in Bethany and is confronted by Martha, Lazarus' sister. She's perplexed by Jesus' delay. His actions towards his friend just don't make any sense. Martha says to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." You know, Martha didn't lack faith in what God could do through Jesus. She was perplexed by the way God was answering, or to her, seemingly not answering her prayers. Mary, Lazarus' other sister, is also perplexed by Jesus' delay and asks him why he didn't come sooner. Jesus is so overwhelmed by the grief of those around him, the Bible says he wept. Jesus then goes to Lazarus' tomb and prays for God to resurrect Lazarus from the dead to prove to Martha, Mary, and the disciples that he is the Messiah. Lazarus comes walking from the tomb wrapped in his burial clothes like some mummy from an old movie. Lazarus' death had been allowed by God as part of a greater plan to reveal Jesus as the Messiah. Now, just think about it. Of course, there was no way for the friends and family to understand this during the crisis. God's picture was much bigger than their immediate difficulties. And therein lies the dilemma. We must trust in God's bigger plan, even though we can't always see it. This also means that sometimes we have to accept that God's answer is wait. Sometimes it's even no. These times are the greatest challenges to our faith. You know, any adult understands that wait is a wise response to a 5-year-old boy's request for a pocket knife. Even though wait seems maybe cruel to the child, he just doesn't understand because of his limited reasoning ability. Any intelligent, responsible parent knows that the answer to a 17-year-old's request to have her boyfriend stay overnight in her room is no, even though the teenager may feel that the parent just doesn't understand. It's a quirk of human nature that we believe God's answer to our request must always be yes. Anyone who works with children and has tried to explain a simple concept, only to have the child repeatedly ask why, because the child doesn't understand, and we keep trying to explain, but no matter how many times you change your wording, talk slower, or raise your voice, sometimes a child just can't understand the reality of what an adult perceives. You know, it's the same way between God and us. He sees a much bigger reality of life. He understands your personality. He really does. He understands your weaknesses, your hopes, your anxieties, and he really cares about your ultimate good. But with our limited minds, we keep asking, but why? At some point, we have to trust that our Father knows what he's doing. Now, due to our human limitations, even when we trust God, there are times when God seems beyond our reach. Our faith fades. We feel that we are untouchable to God. How do you deal with the struggle that sometimes you believe God, but you can't seem to experience his comfort? Now, before we discuss this topic, I want to tell you about the free booklet we're offering on today's program. You can have living faith. This booklet can help you discover the faith in God that will bring you comfort when you face those moments in life when you feel like God just isn't close by. This booklet will take you to the Bible, where you can find the definition of faith and instruction and how to grow in faith. You can also learn about the enemies of faith: worry, fear, doubt, and human reasoning without spiritual understanding, and how to combat these enemies in your life. If worry, fear, and doubt are keeping you from having faith, go online to beyondtoday.tv and listen to Beyond Today Radio, where I interview the author of You Can Have Living Faith. And we can help you work through these issues so you can experience a deeper trust in your Creator. And when you go online to beyondtoday.tv, you can read the booklet, You Can Have Living Faith, or we can send you a free copy right through the mail by calling, now write this down, toll free, 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632, or go online to beyondtoday.tv. You know, it really is free, and I would love to send you a copy. So why do you sometimes feel that God, when you approach God, that you're just untouchable to him? Well, here's the overview of the story that you were born into. Human beings are made in the image of God, and we're given freedom of choice or free will. Sin, what the Bible calls sin, is any action, thought, or emotion that differs from how the Creator designed life. Now, once sin entered into your experience, your emotions and thoughts became toxic to your own spiritual and emotional well-being. I want to say that again. Your thoughts, your emotions, they're actually toxic to your spiritual well-being. The result is suffering, broken relationships, meaningless lives, and eventual death. And that's the really bad news. Now, the good news of Jesus Christ is the message of how God sent His Son to take your sins on Himself and pay the penalty that you deserve. But that isn't all there is to the gospel. Human beings are incomplete creations. You need a personal relationship with your Creator in order to find purpose and happiness. You need the faith that comes from God's personal involvement in your life. Now, understanding why your life is in such a mess and how God has a plan to get you out of it is the beginning of seeing His bigger picture for you. You have to accept that, like all human beings, your emotions and thought processes are damaged. Only then can you begin to seek God's help in being healed. Now, this healing includes living the way of life outlined in the Bible. You know, healing of physical maladies is more than just going to the physician. You must also put into action the changes needed for getting well. Spiritual healing includes accepting God's love and the incredible future He has in store for you, and then living the way of life He prescribes. You have to learn to trust in God's prescription in order to get better. Today. Now, when I say today, I mean right now. You can begin to view your present sufferings in the bigger picture of the Creator's plan for you. What can you do to grow in experiencing God's comfort in times of despair? How can you, as Jesus said in the Beatitudes, be blessed even when you mourn? You know, many times it really is easier to heal human illness than to restore damaged human emotions. When faced with terrible loss or difficult time of life, first accept that it's okay to be human. I mean, emotions like grief are not a lack of faith, but a natural response to intense loss. Most importantly, you need to be able to pour out your emotions to God. If it helps, write down what you're experiencing and read those intimate thoughts and feelings to God in prayer. You know, it's not that God doesn't want to be involved. The truth is, sometimes you don't invite Him to be involved. And when you do invite Him into your life, the question you honestly have to ask yourself is, do I want God in my life, but only on my terms? Now, let me illustrate what I'm saying from an incident in the life of Jesus. A young man came running up to Jesus, knelt in front of Him and asked, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God." And then He said, "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." The young man said, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." It is recorded in Mark 10:21. Then Jesus looked at him and it says He loved him. Jesus didn't say, "Well, you never did all those things." Jesus loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way. Sell whatever you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." Jesus was offering him discipleship. Jesus was offering him to be a son of God. And the Bible says that the young man went away sad, for he had great possessions. You know, this young man wanted God's involvement in his life, but he didn't want to dedicate every aspect of his life to God. He wanted God in his life, but on His terms, not God's. He wanted God's healing, but he didn't want to fulfill God's prescription. In your daily life, what are you holding back from God? You know, you've probably heard it said that God accepts you just the way you are. You know what? This is going to be a shocking statement, but it's just not true. God loves you the way you are, but He wants to make you better. He wants to heal your spiritual nature. He wants to give you solutions to your problems. He wants to comfort you in despair. He wants to change your life. Do you trust that if you turn your life over to God, that He will do what is best for you? Because if you don't, you will hold back some of your life from God. You will hide your alcoholism, your anger, your self-pity, your dishonesty, your greed, and you can fill in the blank. And like the young man who approached Jesus, you will walk away from God's help in your life because you really don't trust His prescription. God isn't the cause of suffering. He is the only solution. As beings with free will, we have the opportunity to explore every possible solution to the human condition. And on our own, we will continue to fail. We will continue to come up woefully short. When you suffer, God's involvement isn't usually as dramatic or immediate as it was for Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. But remember, through those dark times, those dark days of Lazarus' illness and death, they didn't know what the outcome would be. It was a real test of their faith. All they had during those times of despair was a faith that God had not abandoned them and that Lazarus would someday be resurrected from the dead. You see, faith is more than just belief in God. It is trust that He is always acting for the ultimate eternal good for every human being. It is the trust that He is always acting for the ultimate eternal good for you. It is trust even when you're faced with difficult times that just don't seem to make sense. He has a bigger purpose for your life. You see, with God, there are no untouchables. Now, when you order your booklet, your free booklet, you can have Living Faith. We will also send you a free one-year subscription to The Good News. Now, this magazine contains important and relevant articles on marriage and family, what the Bible teaches about the most vital questions concerning your life, how to make sense of today's confusing world news, and God's amazing plan for humanity and for you personally. Go online to beyondtoday.tv to order your free subscription to The Good News, or call, now write this down, toll free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. We also invite you to visit us on the web at beyondtoday.tv, where you can watch dozens of Beyond Today programs and catch the weekly Beyond Today commentary. And when you go to beyondtoday.tv, listen to Beyond Today Radio, where we discuss the three big destroyers of faith: worry, fear, and doubt. And you can follow Beyond Today on Twitter and join our Facebook page. Well, here we are now again joined by our panel. We've been talking about the times in life when we might feel untouchable to God. And we're here with Beyond Today host Steve Myers and Darris McNeely. Why does it feel like sometimes we are untouchable to God?
Because when something happens in our life, something really difficult and challenging, Gary, we're not prepared for it. We want our lives to be without risk, without difficulty, so much and so often. And if we are not really tuned into perhaps the real purpose of life and the purpose of challenges, difficulties, and trials that happen, we can't put them into a bigger picture. We cannot relate them to God, and we cannot even see that God is working with us through a trial, through a difficult situation where we feel untouchable. But that's part of life. That's what happens.
Yeah, it's messy. And unless we see God's view, all we see is the mess.
Yeah, sometimes you feel untouchable. You think of the ultimate standard. You think of God on this huge, high spiritual plane, and here I am, this low life. And so you're going to feel that way when you don't measure up. Sometimes it's when we make bad choices and we sin and we fall short. You're going to feel bad. You're going to feel untouchable when you don't measure up to that standard.
Human nature being what it is, much of the time, though, when we do something bad, we immediately go and ask for forgiveness. And we feel touchable. It's when those things we don't expect, when something bad happens to us. And that leads us to the age-old question. Why do bad things happen to good people?
Because life happens. That is part of life. Again, it's a little understood reality, but the Bible does talk about having the ability to live an abundant life, a life filled with blessing and happiness. But also that promise includes the realities of what happens in what we can call life 101. That there are challenges, there are difficulties. And really, that question, which has been around for a long time, Gary, we've read books about it and discussed it and heard it discussed, I think it ought to be turned around. I think that it really is, why do not good people turn to God when bad things happen? That's really the question that really needs to be asked of all of us. And we need to challenge ourselves with such a question. Why, if we feel we are good, when bad things happen, why don't we turn to God and try to draw closer to God? Because really, the reality is, God is very near. Many scriptures talk about the nearness of God in one sense, and he can be found by those who seek him. But it's a matter of understanding that and, you know, going along the right course to do so. But when you do, it begins to narrow that gap, and we don't feel so untouchable.
It really is a learning experience. This life was supposed to be a learning experience.
When you think about, okay, why do bad things happen to good people, or why does God allow suffering? I think you have to step back a little bit and say, well, where in the Bible does it say that there won't be any suffering?
Right.
Where does it say that? Where can you turn in the Bible where God says, if you're a Christian, everything will be perfect? Well, it doesn't say that. Christ said you're called to suffering, that is the nature of life, that there are going to be difficult things that happen. And so God's more concerned with how we deal with it. Like you were saying, how do we deal with suffering? How do we deal with difficulties? Do we turn to God? Does it help strengthen our faith? Or do we allow it to help us feel like we are untouchable?
Yeah, because there's a lot of things, perseverance, empathy. A lot of times is learned through your suffering, that you're actually able to love and care for others, which is at the core of what we're supposed to be learning as children of God.
Well, in a sense, we learn to be more like God in that sense, that we take on his traits when we're compassionate, we're loving, and we're kind, and we're learning lessons from life.
So what advice would you give someone who is suffering and going through a terrible time in life, doesn't see an end to it, and feels that they're just untouchable to God?
Well, it seems like if you feel untouchable, you feel isolated, you feel like somehow you're by yourself, you're alone. I think there's times that we've all felt like that. Well, what do? You've got to reach out. And so you've got to reach out. Develop that personal relationship that God wants to have with you. He's there. He's close by. He wants a relationship with you. So reach out to God. Pray to him. Get out your Bible. Study your Bible. Learn about God. And develop that relationship with you. And he's going to help you through it. Romans 8 tells us that all things can work together for good to those who love God. And so God wants the best for us. He wants a relationship with us. And so I think that's where it's got to start, is by reaching out to God.
Well, you know, you said pray to God, you know, and go to the Bible. A lot of times we want to pray to God. We don't want the prescription. It's like going to the doctor, yeah, Getting a pill to cover up. We don't want the prescription to receive healing. You have to go to this book and hear God tells you how to be healed. In that relationship with him, he takes you there.
Which tells us that there is something beyond ourselves,
yes,
God, that we have to go to in order to get the help that we need.
And in a sense, there's something we can do. I like the way you phrased that question. What can we do? Well, we have to put it into action, which means we've got to seek out God. We've got to try and strive to better our situation in that sense so that we are touchable.
And Steve was talking about going to God and developing that relationship with God. It's also important that we understand that God works through people.
Yeah.
And the relationships that we do have with our friends, with family, with other people are important to having that contact, that understanding with God, because he does work through other people. And recognizing that is a key. One of the toughest periods I ever went through in my life, I had the help of a friend, one particular friend, who basically gave me some advice that for the moment and the time was what I needed. He looked at me and he said, just toughen up, Darris. It was a cold splash water in my face, but it slapped me back to a reality and made me realize. And I do think it's important. God does work through people,
yes,
and others in our relationships. We have to understand that.
Well, let's go back to the Beatitudes. I talked about the Beatitudes. Maybe share an experience that you had in your life or that you know of other people have gone through where the person felt maybe deserted or you felt deserted by God and you felt untouchable, and yet you found out that God was there. And God did touch your life.
Another situation that I went through, probably, it took me years to find out that God was working through a difficult challenge in my life and a time. And I had to learn patience. I just couldn't understand. Again, it was something beyond my control. Decisions were made by other people that impacted my whole family and where we lived and what we were doing. And it was not until years later, several years later, that I fully understood that God had been working even at that time, and I couldn't see it, couldn't figure it out. And that, I think it's patience to trust God and to recognize that your life can be and will be a part of a bigger operation, a bigger plan.
Even when you don't always
understand. When you don't know it,
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a difficult situation come up in my life. A friend died, and going to see his widow for the first time after his death, who were faced with a difficult situation, you know, what do you say? Is there more of a time that you feel isolated or left out when you lose a mate? You know, and how do you comfort someone like that? And it's a difficult situation. And so I was praying, you know, what should I say? What would be the right words? Nothing seemed to fit. And as we met for the first time, we hugged each other and kind of cried together. And, you know, some words finally came out of my mouth, something like, it'll be all right. And after saying that, I felt pretty stupid because I thought, what comfort is that? And how would I have any idea if it's going to be all right? But it was interesting because a few weeks later we were talking and she said to me, you know, when you said it will be all right, she said, I had been praying to God and asking him specifically if it was going to be okay. And when you said it'll be all right, it was like an answer from God. Mm-hmm. And so here I felt so, you know, useless. But in a sense, I think God was able to use that situation to support her and comfort her and reassure her. And it's amazing how God can work through situations. Even when you feel helpless, God can still work through those things and can comfort others who are mourning.
And he will use us, if we're open to him, to bring comfort to others and to be a blessing to others. I would like to send you your free copy of You Can Have Living Faith. You can learn about the enemies of faith, worry, fear, doubt, and human reasoning without spiritual understanding, and how to combat these enemies in your life. Go online to beyondtoday.tv to read or order your free copy of this free booklet, You Can Have Living Faith, or call, now write this down, toll free, 1-888-886-8632, 1-888-886-8632, or go online to beyondtoday.tv. And when we send you the booklet, You Can Have Living Faith, we will also send you a free 1-year subscription to the Good News Magazine. This magazine contains important and relevant articles on marriage and family, what the Bible teaches about the most vital questions concerning your life, and how to make sense of today's confusing world news. We also invite you to visit us on the web at beyondtoday.tv, where I discuss the 3 great barriers to faith, worry, fear, and doubt, with the author of You Can Have Living Faith. Is your pain so great that you think, even God can't touch me? When God doesn't seem to be working in your life, get on your knees and ask him to reveal to you his purpose for your life. You have to have faith that he will give you help. No matter what you face, no matter how untouchable that you may feel, God knows how to comfort you. Pick up a Bible and begin reading the way of life designed by the Creator. You will find with God, there are no untouchables. You can find faith, hope, and comfort. And God's way will lead you to true health and happiness. And thanks for joining us on Beyond Today.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.